I must tell you that this class has been unbelievably useful for me. Because, you know, as a rabbi, you just can't know everything. You know, and the halachos of Shabbos especially are hard. They're complicated. And they come up a lot on Shabbos when you don't have time to say, I'll call you back. You know, so I'll give you an example. We were talking about, last class, we were talking about the idea of what happens if you are just sick. And we spoke about the idea, if you're not feeling well, then you can't really do things that are refuah, that are for healing on Shabbos. It's only if you're really sick. It's only if you reach the level of chole kol gufo, that your whole body has become ill. So we discussed that, and it came up a couple of times, actually. Just to review. If it's Beis Rama, slight headache, no fever, doesn't affect your whole body, a little toothache, we said you can't do anything, not even something that you would think, not just taking medicine, but anything for refuah, anything for healing. But what happens if you were called chole kol gufo? So my brother came down with cellulitis in his leg. Anybody know what cellulitis is?
Yes.
I had never seen it before. Holy mackerel. Oh my goodness gracious.
What?
Yeah. Any doctors or nurses here? You got some nurses? What? What? So, I mean, he really was in great, great pain. And my brother was a pretty religious guy. And so he wanted, the doctor told him he should soak it. So now, under normal circumstances, let's say, for example, you had your foot was bothering you. So if your foot was just bothering you, you wanted to soak it, would one be permitted to do that on Shabbos? The answer would be no. Even if it's just soaking, but that's refuah. So my brother, you know, the tendency is, for religious people, is always to say, well, I better not do it unless I know better. Now, my understanding, I'm not a doctor, my understanding of these things are, especially things like cellulitis, is it's really an infection of the whole body that localizes around a specific area. Okay, so already, if you know anything about the medicine, you know that it's chole kol gufo. The other thing you have to know is, he couldn't walk. He was in such pain that he couldn't walk. So already, that's considered tzar gadol, great pain. So I had another brother-in-law who opened a book, and he started looking in the Mishnah Berurah. You know, if you remember, I told you the Mishnah Berurah is very hard to follow when it comes to these issues, because it's really all over the place. It was just the issues that affected the Shulchan Aruch at the time. But I had learned these things. And my brother was in great pain, and he was very reluctant to do anything about it. So I went, I told the non-Jew to fill up the water. We were at a bar mitzvah, so there was a crew there. Oh. I told him to fill up the hot water. We didn't have anything to soak it in, so we took a garbage bag and lined it with a whatever. And he soaked his leg, and he felt better. I mean, really significantly better. It made a very big difference.
Yeah.
So you have to know, and he's like, are you sure? And when it was when I took the bucket and stuck it in front of him and said, stick your foot in it.
Then you
know. Now, then,
is it just an older brother or a younger brother?
Younger brother. Younger.
Oh, well then, of course. Then,
no, it wouldn't matter.
The rabbinical authority has nothing to do with it. It's the older brother.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's... But I would not have known that
had I not
learned it.
Are you the only Rav amongst your siblings?
I'm not the only one who has smicha amongst my siblings. My brother-in-law does. Well, I guess I'm second. I don't know. I was thinking about that. No, my brother lives in Kiryat Sefer.
Right.
He's been learning for years and years and years. But in the yeshiva world, they don't go for smicha. They just kind of learn.
Like my nephew.
Right, so is he a rabbi?
That's what we keep asking him.
So they push it off and off because they don't really want to get that session. Well, I don't know enough yet. So the answer is you never know enough. You're never at the point where you know everything. You know, but the more you learn, the more you know. I think the answer, somebody had a mandolin question. Whose mandolin was it?
Hi.
So I saw this, we were in outside of Target in Summer Spring, and this guy was demonstrating the most nifty thing I've ever seen. It was like a 30-in-1 tool where you could make french fries, and so it reminded me of your mandolin. I think the mandolin would not be permitted to be used on Shabbos. That would be a utensil that's used for specifically for grinding things, even if it's only for slicing.
Right.
I don't know.
It doesn't do anything fancy. It's only three blades.
But it's just slicing?
It's
only slicing?
It's only slicing.
I meant
to bring
it tonight. All right. Next week. I think I'd like to see it.
In one direction. In only one direction.
The egg cutter, they said, the egg slicer, they said, was permitted.
So it only has a V-shaped knife that you pass the food over.
I hear what you're saying. What?
Maybe I'll bring it tomorrow. Bring that there.
Okay. So last week we spoke about, I'm sorry, last week, last time, this is a continuation, but we have a new topic, we spoke about what's called Mechos Be'alma. Today we're going to talk about the halachas of Chole Kol Gufo, someone who's sick. Now, obviously, we're talking, when we talk about chola kol gufo, chola kol gufo means someone who's sick, but it's chola, we call it she'ein bo sakana. That means there's no danger. They're not in life, in a life-threatening danger. They're not, they're just sick. They have 101. They have the flu. We're going to see certain examples, different examples of a chola she'ein bo sakana. Now, it's important to state that my brother had this cellulitis that was chola kol gufo, right? Or it was a case of he was in great pain. Okay, but if a person doesn't know if you're sick and you're in danger, what do you have to assume? You assume that you are. I like to say, I'm not mekiel on Shabbos. I'm not leaving it when it comes to Shabbos. I'm very machmir when it comes to pikuach nefesh. Okay, I'm very, very stringent about it. And people, again, when it comes to Shabbos, for some reason, intuitively, they say, well, I can do without it. I can avoid it. We almost did the same thing. Leia developed goop coming out of her eyes. Now, this is the first time, amazingly, in three children that we ever had goop coming out of the eyes. What?
Yeah.
Well, lucky that it's the first time in three kids.
We went to the hospital for Shabbos for last this year, Caesar. We didn't know how serious it made about it.
Okay, right, exactly the same thing.
Doctor,
go there. Right. So, it's interesting to know that we didn't know how serious it was, because if you leave the goop coming out of the eye, she developed the cellulitis also. And we had to go to the pediatrician, and then he gave her a shot, then another shot. And when we saw another pediatrician in Maryland, he said that he would have admitted her to the hospital.
Really?
And when it becomes cellulitis around the eye, it's very dangerous.
Well,
especially little. He yelled at me very gently. He was a nice guy in Baltimore. He yelled at me very gently, and he said, when you deal with children, especially young children under the age of 2, don't mess around. If a child has a temperature over 101, 102, run to Lenny Pollock or in Oak Park or Janet Schneider or
who? Right behind your house.
So we mentioned that to you last time when we were talking about that the eye is something you don't mess around
with. In halakha it is actually also. Let's see the halacha, and it's a little bit confusing in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to do the Shulchan Aruch just to see the Shulchan Aruch written by Rabbi Yosef Karo in the late 1500s. Just to see the original source. And then we're going to look at the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, which is a work written by Rabbi Neubert of Israel, and it is one of the most authoritative books that's relevant today. Now, somebody give me another very common example of someone who is a chola, is in life danger, that you would not necessarily think so today. Chola shiyesh bo sakana, that you would violate the Shabbos for. You got it. Woman goes into labor, she's considered a chola shiyesh bo sakana. If the woman is, having contractions, she doesn't know, she's not sure, get to the hospital. Don't mess around. Things of that nature. We consider, for example, even if there's a fracture, a serious fracture, and you don't know where the break is and it's very painful, you have to assume nowadays, unless you're sure that it's nothing that's dangerous, you have to assume that it is and you have to take care of it. And I think that's something that I cannot overstate, that if you're not sure, do what you have to do. Go see a doctor if you can, and if you can't, pick up the phone. You should do it. Now remember, when we say you violate the Shabbos, a person who's going to violate the Shabbos should do it in the most minimal way possible. Right, so if you can pick up the phone with a shinoi, with a change, with an abnormal way. So what's an abnormal way, for example? So if you have a speakerphone and you can use like your elbow. I mean, it really does make a difference to violate malachot in an abnormal way. You can use your elbow. You want to, you have to dial 911, God forbid. You dial 911 with your pinky or whatever. A child has got forbid choking or anything like that. Don't mess around. And if your child is choking and time is of the essence, do it fast. Do it the right way. It all depends on the situation, and everybody has to make their assessment at that time in that place. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Chola shenafal machmat chalio lemishkav. A sick person who fell because of his sickness, lemishkav means in bed, so he's lying down. He has the ainbo sakana. See that term, chola, the ainbo sakana. You're sick, but you're not in the danger. Okay? Haga, the Rama adds, or you have an illness that affects your entire body. You don't have to lie down. So let me give you an example of an illness that affects your entire body that you wouldn't lie down for. A severe headache. But a severe headache. Okay? Stomach virus. You wouldn't necessarily lie down for stomach virus. That ain't going to do any good. You're going to be sitting for a while. But that's kol gufo. That's your whole body. Okay? She'az, end of second line, she'az, afal pi shaholech, even though you're walking, you're on your feet, kinafal lemiskab dami, it's like you're in bed. So first he says, there's a number of things in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's going to be a little confusing, so I'm going to explain it. Omrim le'ino Yehudi la'asos refua. You can tell a non-Jew to do refua, to heal you. Aval ein mechalalin alav et ha-shabbat v'isur de'oraita. But you can't violate the Shabbos, a Torah violation, afilu yesh lo sakanat eber. Even if you have, sakanat eber means a limb is in danger. If you can ascertain that, your foot is in danger, but the rest of your body is not, then you couldn't violate the Shabbos according to this opinion. I'm going to go on, because I don't want to explain it, because we're going to get to the final opinion that's an authoritative one. Ulechalel av Yisrael b'Yisra b'Rabbanan b'Yadayim. For a Jew to violate or Yisra b'Rabbanan b'Yadayim with his hands, actively, Yesh matirin afidu ein bo sakanat eber. Some say that it's permitted even if a limb is not in danger. So to violate a rabbinic prohibition, some permit. The yesh omim, some say, she'im yesh bo sakanat eber osin. If there's a danger of a limb, then you violate it. B'nein bo sakanat eber ein osin. And if a limb is not in danger, you don't violate. The yesh omim, I'm going to get to the last one, which is the one we follow. The yesh omim, some say, she'im ein bo sakanat eber, if a limb is not in danger, osin bishinui, you do it in an abnormal way. Bim yeshlo sakanat eiver, osin belo shinui. And if there is a danger to the limb, you do it without a shinui, without a changing way. Okay, now this is the last one.
What does danger to a limb mean?
You could lose your...
What if you have a gangrenous toe?
Yes, yeah. Right, that's gout? It. That's it.
How about gout? Is that
right.
Sakanat eiver?
Yes, your toe is in danger. That's a great example.
All right, then...
Frostbite, that's an example.
What?
Frostbite. You're going to lose two toes. Is your life in danger? No. Now, nowadays, for all intents and purposes, Rabbi Rivian writes it in his halacha book, there's no case where your limb would be in danger that we don't consider that to be life-threatening. Because, to be honest with you, I'm not a doctor, you are a doctor.
Yeah, everything can what? Complicate it.
Right, exactly. Thank you. Ask a doctor. Everything can complicate. Everything is, you think, oh, cellulitis in the foot, so the foot could be in danger, but no. Yeah. What?
You can die.
Okay, you can die. Thank you. Okay, ask a doctor.
No, I mean,
stress can kill it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
An infection is very, very, don't get me wrong, but infections are probably the number one killers in hospitals today. Correct? More than anything. What?
Gout wouldn't kill you either,
though. Right. But let's say, for example, very often you'll find people with diabetes that their limbs, especially their lower extremities, are in danger. Right? So you say, oh, it's just it's just my toe. What am I going to do? Yeah, but that toe can, people that have serious illnesses, body illnesses,
connected to the knee bone.
Yeah, exactly. No, and we shouldn't minimize that. So for all intents and purposes today, if a person is on Shabbos and he's in a situation where the limb is in danger, he suffers, something, God forbid, falls on his leg, or a person is hit by a car, or anything like that, you broke your leg, oh, I can wait till after Shabbos. I'm telling you, people say it. Don't think I'm kidding. People say it all the time. You can wait till after. Am I making this up?
My husband did it.
Well, we don't need names.
We're approaching a more serious question.
Yeah.
How much reliance do we put on the knowledge, state of knowledge of medicine of 2 centuries?
Well, it just happens to be that the state of knowledge of medicine of 2 centuries ago was much more machmir than ours today. I mean, the things that they considered dangerous back then, we don't consider dangerous today. Very often, you're going to walk into the emergency room with a broken arm. Nobody should do it here, right? And you're going to say, oh, it's killing me. And what are they going to say to you?
Take a number.
Sit down. Such a life-threatening emergency. And what does the doctor say? Well, we have to operate on you. This is a big child that comes up. Well, we got to operate on you, but I'm going to lunch, and I'll be back in 2 hours, and then I'm going to operate on you immediately. Am I wrong?
No.
It happens all the time. So now, is that a really life-and-death emergency?
You can't operate on
you. Right, you're going to the hospital if you know you're going to sit in the emergency room.
It's a good question.
You don't know.
Correct.
You don't know that ahead of time.
So if you don't know, meaning, right, sometimes, you have to be afraid of the once in a... in a lot situation where you wouldn't know if you broke your arm and you, God forbid, had internal bleeding. You wouldn't know.
But it also depends.
And that one situation, what?
Triaging. And in some circumstances, they may take care of you right away because they don't have anything worse than you. But
right.
In other cases, they could have a whole lot of things worse than you and they're going to treat those before you. You don't know.
Right. How long you think of your
own? We only had a seizure. We didn't know if it was a seizure. We didn't know if it was a seizure.
You don't know that.
It came to that.
I did the same thing. Leah had a breathing problem. The doctor said she had, you know. That's right. As soon as the doctor says go to the hospital, you go to the hospital. Now, how do you go to the hospital?
I told my wife, go to Valley Park.
Right, that's a good one. Valley Park is great. But if you don't have to drive, if you have to go to the hospital right away, you can't call a cab in Oak Park and only get there. Right? if you have a non-Jewish neighbor, you should ask a non-Jewish neighbor to drive you. That's the ideal. And it's hard to be where we live, right? So no non-Jews where we live.
Right.
You know. Where, all three of them, right? So you have to know the levels. You have to know the levels at the priority. Priority number one would be to ask a non-Jew to drive you. When it's interesting, when we ran into later with Pachalo, Connecticut, we had these wonderful Catholic neighbors, just great people, the Andrews. And so Rena goes into labor, and I'm like, you know, pacing up and down outside waiting for the cab. You call the cab company in West Hartford, Connecticut, a Saturday morning. You know what they tell you? They'll be there in 45 minutes.
Even if you said somebody's in labor.
Yeah, I don't care. What are you going to do? Even then, that'll take more. Because then they don't want to have the good birth in the cab.
Right.
I shouldn't have said that. You know, so I walk out, and it just so happens that they got a dog. And the wife, Linda, came out. She's like, is Rita going to labor? She's like, hurry up. I'll wake Chuck up. He'll drive you. That's what he did. He drove us. And in the middle of the car, we were having such an interesting conversation. Rita will tell you this is true. About whether it violates the principles of the Etzem Tel Dibanim. Meaning God writes that because of the sin, the original sin, the women will have pain in labor. Mm-hmm. So do we have the right ethically to use an epidural if that violates the principles of the Etzem Tel Dibanim? Mm-hmm. And Rena's like, shut up! It was so interesting, you know. Anyway, okay.
If
no one is a soul, ask a non-Jew. Call a cab. If you're in an emergency, you don't know, drive. Okay, but once you get there, you can't turn the car off. So valet parking is the ideal. You drove?
I had to drive.
Right.
He kicked me out in 2 hours.
Right, okay.
And he had a history of that. But the emergency room, the valet entrance was way away from the maternity, so I'd go in the main entrance, the other entrance.
Right.
And I had my key, so they got the guard was like, I don't want your key, you go park my car. I can't park my car.
So ideally,
that's the emergency. I then,
ideally, what I would have done, what you're supposed to do, is just leave the key in the car. They're not going to steal it. Tell the car, I can't park it. I got to go. They didn't go and park it.
Yeah. And the door's
sure.
open.
Yeah. Leave the door open.
The doors, yeah.
Right. You can't even close the door. Once you get where you have to go, you're not. Why should you have the right to turn off the lights and turn off the car?
Once she was in there, I had to walk.
The principle of violation of Shabbos is to save a life. Right. If you came on a Thursday and you were running in, they would just park your car for you.
Boy turns it off.
Child, you're
going to go there
and go park your car. There's no way the kid's going to want to sit there without their parents.
Right.
They do it for you.
Right. Really? All right. So okay. So again, the principle is you're only allowed to violate the Shabbos to save a life. Right, but anything ancillary that you would normally do, instinctively you would do, you have to be aware of and not do. So, for example, if you're taking a cab, you're supposed to ask the cab driver to open the door for you, because it's better that he turns on the light than you turning on the light. What's that?
Right, but as he explained, or what I learned once, that if you already are pregnant, you know you're going to be having the baby. So, Rabbi Eisenberg mentioned so what he would do, not knowing what would happen on Shabbos. So, before Shabbos, like sometime in the ninth month. He would go in the car and he would close the lights ahead of time.
Right.
So when you open the door, the light wouldn't go on. And he would also set either the air conditioning or the heat, depending on what he needs. So all he had to do was start the car and everything else was already.
That makes sense. He didn't get a ride. He drove. He didn't take a cab.
I think twice he had a ride.
He drove.
Sure.
Yeah. We had three Shabbos babies. All three were Shabbos babies.
Carry Shabbos
babies.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's in labor, whatever.
Right.
And you by accident turn the car off, but wouldn't the valet parking guy turn it back on so you would not be creating or
when you, as soon as you turn it off, then you're extinguishing a fire. Yeah. That act of turning it off would be extinguishing a fire, whether somebody turns it on again or not.
Oh,
okay, so let's look at the third opinion.
Bang really loud on those, when you go from down the stairs, bang really loud on the door because they don't hear you.
When you're in the hospital?
Once I got in the treehouse, I had to go, I couldn't use elevators.
Right.
Right.
And the doors are locked.
Downstairs, when I got to the first floor and I wanted to get out, it was fine, but when I got cool. back in, got to the third floor, I wanted
right.
to get out of the stairs, and they're long. It's locked.
Right.
And
right.
You, I'm banging there for 30 minutes as hard as I can.
30 minutes?
30
Holy moly. Okay, let's go on.
Finally, someone let me in.
Three lines on the bottom. Yesh Omen, some say, and this is the way we paskin. Three lines on the bottom. Yesh Omen in the middle. Afilu Yesh Lo Sakanat Aver, even if there's a danger of a limb. Something that's like a deraisa, but you can do derabanan. You can violate derabanan. Now I just tell you, you could do almost anything, and violate only derabanan. It's really hard to violate a malacha deraisa unless you're really trying, But dvarim she'ein behem semach malacha, something doesn't have it like a deraisa attribute. You can do it even if there's no danger. So someone who's sick, the bottom line is, someone who's sick, their whole body, you can violate a dirabanan, but it just shouldn't resemble a malacha d'oraita. And then in Shmir Shabbos Kilchata, we'll explain what those things are. Shouldn't do things that resemble a d'oraita violation. Okay? So let's look down at the bottom. And there's translation, just that translation, on page 5 maybe? Page 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I didn't have the time to go through the whole thing. I just scanned it, OCR'd it, and dumped it out for you. So you can follow in Hebrew or in English. I'm going to do both. Okay? So I know where we're going. Okay. Says the Shmirat Shabbat Yochata. Mihu cholesh embo sakana. Who is someone who is ill? There's more sheets here. Someone who is ill, who is not in danger. Who is not in danger. One, Aleph. Misha nafal mishkav machmat chol yo. Someone who falls into bed, who have to lie down. So as soon as you have to lie down because of your headache, toothache, because you are, you're engorged, because of anything like that, as soon as you have to lie down because of that, what immediately you can do? You can take Tylenol. You can take aspirin. You can take Pepto. You can immediately take medicine. Remember last week we learned that Mechosh Be'alma couldn't take medicine. So if you have to lie down, then you can take medicine. So how do you decide whether you have to lie down or not lie down? What's the answer to that?
Personal.
You have to decide.
Yeah.
I can make that decision for you. You have to be honest. That's all. Yeah. If you feel well enough that you would lie down because of this, I really don't feel well, I'm going to go take a nap, I'm going to go rest. That's it. You have to lie down. Yeah.
What happens if it feels that you take it every day?
Such as?
Vitamins.
So we talked about vitamins last week, last 2 weeks ago, and we said vitamins, it depends why you're taking them. If you were sick, and you're taking them to get healthy again, then you would not be permitted because they're considered rehabilitative. But most postgame, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein included, holds that the vitamins are just to enhance your health, so you'd be permitted to take your, the prenatal one, the horse pill?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could take that every day.
How about a stomach pill or a gout pill, for example?
What?
A stomach pill for ulcers or...
For ulcers, you're taking ulcers. That could be very dangerous if you don't take your pill. So obviously, it doesn't matter. Wait, we discussed that this last time. It doesn't matter if it's prescription or not prescription. It depends why you're taking it. So for example, if you got Tagnit, that you take that before you eat, right? Which one do you take before you eat?
Pepsid,
right? That's not
they're all.
They're all before you eat, right?
All before you eat.
So you can't take. We said you could take that because it was preventative. Right? You're allowed to take something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have heartburn and you don't feel well, you can't take the Tums afterwards. What's the obvious answer? Don't eat so much.
Okay.
So,
I had a science infection last week.
Yeah.
But I have taken in them and I didn't.
But you had a sinus infection?
I had a sinus infection, but it didn't hurt right when I woke up. And I knew that later on in the day it was going to hurt because I was in the middle of the sickness, of still the illness. And it
right.
wasn't hurting at that
You're
time.
Taking antibiotics for it?
I was not taking antibiotics, but I was taking like a sinus medication over the counter. Could I have taken that before it started to hurt?
Would it have gotten to the point where you'd have to lie down because of it?
No,
then you couldn't, because again, it's just that you're at that level of nechosh ba'alma, right? It's only to prevent you from becoming debilitated. Also, I had an ear, nose, and throat doctor in Connecticut who claimed that the vast majority of sinus infections are not really infections, they're viruses. But That's a different story. Yeah.
You know what a chronic condition you're taking prescriptions for, if you don't take it, you're going
to
be...
Yeah, you absolutely have to take that on traffic. Okay. Correct. That's considered cold goofo, your whole body. Meaning I have a thyroid condition. I mentioned that last time also. Right. So you better take that because that could be very dangerous for you. Right. Yeah.
Lactose intolerance. Like, if you're going to take...
So then don't get on board. Yeah, exactly. No, if you're lactose intolerant, you really can't because then just don't take the milk.
You have to be invited to someone's house and you don't know that they cooked with it.
Ah, right. That's a problem. Can't you add the drops to the... What about the drops in the milk?
They don't have that? Get rid of them. It's not back to just tablets.
Really? All right. I don't have to check that question. That's a good question. Okay. So, Aleph, one was someone who is in bed. And where did he get that definition from? Obviously from the top, from the Shulchan Aruch. This is just a Shulchan Aruch, but it's adjusted for today. Two, HaSovel Michom Memala Meharagil, let's go, if you have a temperature. Okay? How do you know if you have a temperature? You know if you have a temperature. I mean, you know, instinctively you would know if you have a temperature or not. I've yet to, unless you have a young child, I've yet to see an argument for taking kids' temperature on Shabbos. Unless you know.
But if it's child, you can touch him and see.
Oh, you would know.
So you know.
If your child has a temperature and you think it's dangerous and you have to know is it dangerous, then you take the temperature. And the best way to do that is, halakhically, what's the best way to do that? The old thermometers. Right?
Now,
yes, they do.
No, they got rid of all the mercury. If you have one. They did.
Really?
I can...
You work at a pharmacy, I know.
5 years.
Yeah.
They're all digital.
You
they're
can't buy it?
They're all digital now. Everybody comes to me and asks for the other one.
We come bring you some proof.
Go to a third world country.
Yeah. And what about that band that changed colors?
I don't know. That's a good question. Do you write Viva? I need a note taker. The first one was...
I wasn't telling you to write everything.
Yeah, write this down. Write, what was the first one?
It's about lactose intolerance.
And the second one was the strip, right? For the temperature?
The strip. I'm just going to live with whatever.
Are those accurate?
The kids were playing with it, all of them were an old one,
but the question was, didn't we discuss that
it changes color?
Because it changes color?
Right, because of heat. But you're not cooking it.
But you're not cooking
it. Instinctively, it should be okay. Right, you're not dying
or
anything.
Dying.
I have to check it. Good question.
It's exactly enough to know whether you're in trouble.
Right. Gimel, three. Okay. Gimel, hasovel mikeiv ad shenechlash kol gufo. If you have a pain that weakens your whole body, what would be a good example of that?
Migraine.
You sprain migraine, or you sprain your ankle, and you really—I mean, somebody sprains their ankle severely, you're in great pain. So once you're in great pain, that it hurts your whole body, then you're allowed to take medicine. Afilo lo nafal mishkav. Even if you're not in bed, kigon, for example, hasovel mi migrina. What's a migrina?
A migraine.
Right. Okay. There's a lot of English in here. Dalit. This is an important one. Hamehalech kibari. You're walking around like you're healthy. Aval alul lipol mishkav im lo yekabel tipul ba'od moed. But you're going to be bedridden if you don't have a certain treatment in a certain amount of time. A kagon, for example. Cholek kateret. Ashma. Ashma. Okay. Shakeret is diabetes. If you don't treat your diabetes, you'll be on the ground. You'll be on the floor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What? You could be in the hospital. Daleket prakim, rheumatic fever, or hasholem imachalat leish she'en mesukenet, heart disease which is not in danger of life. Is there a heart disease that doesn't endanger life? Unless the not really. Right.
Because even angina is telling you better do something.
Could be bad.
Congestive heart failure.
No, if you have congestive heart failure, go to the hospital. Do me a favor.
That's a chronic condition, and you live with it.
My grandfather actually had that.
And
you have to monitor it, right? Up and down, up and down.
You need to treat it, but it's not. You're not immediately in danger from it.
Right. Okay. Hey. Mi shekayama eslo shakana eiver, someone whose limb is in danger. Who shebarur, but he is sure, ki lo titpateach mizeh kol shakanat chayin. You are sure that it's not a life-dangering thing. Kedon, shever etzem, she'ein patuach, and a broken bone that is not open. Okay? She'ein bo kol tizuzah shak chot shivrei ha'etzem. For example, one second, let me just find this. No sheepage, right. You are sure of that. Right? You went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you broke your arm, we could set it after Shabbos. But go to the doctor, check. Okay? Do me a favor. It happens to kids all the time. They fall, God forbid, and they hurt things. But take him to the doctor. And if you can't take him to the doctor, you know, without violating the Shabbos, and you know, it might not be a life-threatening emergency, but you might have to have a cat called or something like that. What do we have to Vav. Hashavah mi deleket einayim. Six. Someone who suffers from eye for something or other.
Inflammation.
Inflammation of the eye.
Inflammation.
I can't even find where I am in English anymore. one. Oh, that's supposed to be F.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The computer read it as one. Okay. Eye inflammation. Or Zion. G. Yoledet min yom hashmini ledata asof shloshim yom. Woman who gave birth. Right? So she's doing fine, but she feels weak or whatever, and she's between day 7 but before day 30. From day 1 to day 7, she's treated like a chola sheyesh bo sakana, in danger. You violate the Shabbos for her under any circumstances. From day 8 to day 30, she's a chola she'ein bo sakana, she's a regular illness, and you violate the rabbinic ordinances for her. Hey, chet, I'm sorry, chet number 8, a small child. Okay, any small children, and you learn this unfortunately the hard way, that you don't mess around. I mean, he really yelled at me. You don't mess around with children, especially under 2. That's what they say. You know, if they're sick, you got to take care of it because their bodies are very, very fragile. You going no, or are you saying?
No, you don't mess around with kids.
Yes.
Unfortunately, years ago there was a death in the community because the child appeared just to have cold symptoms or whatever, and lay down. And when she called the doctor, which waited till after Shabbos, called the doctor after Shabbos. Whatever, anyway, by the time she went back to check on the child.
That's really unusual, though. I mean, to be honest with you, that's hard to blame on Shabbos, because it could very well be you send your kid to sleep, you know.
I know, but in the meantime,
what did she have?
She just thought it was a cold or
what was
or whatever. They couldn't do anything. I mean, they
didn't know. They had no idea what it was.
No.
That's so unusual, though.
Just in case,
right?
Close about the meningitis or whatever.
Right, but you learn at that point. But you learn at that point that you don't fool around with kids. That if there's a doubt, the child was 4 or 5.
But there was just a case in, I think it was in the this weekend, where somebody had a cold and ended up dying because of meningitis.
Okay, lesson learned tonight. If you learn anything tonight. Don't mess around with kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, take that. Okay, back. Page 2.
Look, I don't know if you remember, Jim Henson also, he had just before a cold.
Less
than a day.
We all do that, though.
Yeah,
you know, nobody runs to the doctor and say when you don't feel well.
He had a fever.
When you get a fever, you run to the doctor right away? Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Some kind of weird bacteria.
That bacteria that was eating
what was it called?
Okay. What is permitted to do on Shabbos or the Yom Tov for the needs of the Chol V'Shein Bo Sakana? What can you do and what can't you do? Okay? So he goes through it pretty meticulously. This is number 2. Cholesh ein bo sakana, someone who is not in danger. In ein efsharu lasot tzorchei refuato al yedei yehudi beheter. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, as a Jew, can I engage in his healing in a permitted way? Right? So my brother, for example, he had cellulitis in his foot. So I would ask him, I needed hot water. I asked the non-Jew to get, I couldn't tell him hot water from the way. There's no way to procure that much hot water in that way. Right? So I have to ask a non-Jew, but if he just needed to soak it in cold water, then I could have done it myself. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, can I do this without violating Shabbos? You know, it's a problem sometimes when you talk to doctors, right? They think, oh, it's Shabbos, I can do anything. That's not true. You have your triage of Shabbos priorities. Mm-hmm. So the first question is, can you do it the heck? Line 2, second line. So then, if you can't do that, then you ask a non-Jew to do it for you. Why? So you say, why is it better for the non-Jew to do it than for you to do it? Because it's not Shabbos for the non-Jew. You know, people think, well, you know, if you have to violate the Shabbos, then why can't I do it? The answer is because I have a commandment to keep the Shabbos, and he doesn't.
Why doesn't Amiel Goy come in here?
Oh, so why? There's a halacha, and we're going to talk about this, actually. I sat down today and came up with a whole list of topics. Amira al-Nahri, asking a non-Jew to do something for you is prohibited on Shabbos. You're not allowed to say to a non-Jew, oh, could you turn that light on for me? Mm-hmm. Just because you want it. You cannot do that. Right? No, you cannot. This whole thing about, that's a topic we're going to cover. It's a very, very misunderstood topic of how to do it, what you can benefit from, what you can't benefit from. It's Amir al-Nahri, asking a non-Jew to do work for you is a drabanan. Okay? You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do work for you. But again, here, Once a person is sick, it's considered a chole. So what are you permitted to do? You're permitted to violate Yisurei, the Rabbanon. So this the Rabbanon waived their violation, waived the prohibition of asking the non-Jew to do work for you in a case where someone is sick. So that answers your question, why is there no problem of Amira Lanachri? Amira Lanachri means literally, Amira, saying Lanachri to a non-Jew. Nachri means someone who is not Jewish. Okay? So the answer is, it's not Shabbos for the non-Jew. And that's why there's no problem of asking a non-Jew to do something when the rabbis permitted it. As opposed to you doing it yourself. It's not the action of the malacha of this getting done. It's not the fact, well, somebody's going to turn on that water, so who cares if I do it, or if the non-Jew does it. Okay? Rather, the issue really is, if for me it's prohibited to turn on hot water, and for him it's permitted. He can turn on hot water for all, you know, 20 times if he wants to. It's not a prohibition for him. The question is, I'm prohibited normally from asking the non-Jew to do that, to turn on the hot water for me. But in this circumstance, it would be permitted. Okay. The who, third line, Shesharich otam b'shabbat, v'lo l'terech motzei shabbat. It's got to be that I need it for now, for Shabbos, and not for after Shabbos. Fourth line. So we're going to talk about Amir Lanachri some other time. Aval, but Yehudi, a Jew, lo yichalel et haShabbat b'melacha gemura she'asura min haTorah. A Jew is not allowed to violate a Torah prohibition. So now, for someone who's just sick, am I not in danger? Can I go drive to the pharmacy to get their drugs?
No,
you can't do that.
Walk.
You can walk. Right, no, you're right. Obviously you can walk. What happens if there's no Eruv?
You can carry.
Could I carry?
But you can pay.
Now, the answer is, we're going to see this. The answer is, it's not, if there's no Eruv, unless you're in literally like a Rashut HaRabim, a public domain, which is almost never heard of, every Rashut HaRabim, every public domain here has the rabbinic status of a Carmelist. Carmelist, I'm not going to say what that is, but it's a rabbinic prohibition. It's not prohibited the Oraita to carry outside in Oak Park. It's only permitted, prohibited the Rabbanan. So if I needed medicine, let's say the Arab was down, right? And, my wife, God forbid, got sick. I don't have any Tylenol. Rina needs some Tylenol. So am I permitted to carry in a Carmelite? Am I permitted to do as a Rabbanan? So you're supposed to do it. You could do it al yaday shinoi, in an unusual way. How would you carry something in an unusual way? You could wrap it around your neck, put it under my hat. You would carry it in an unusual way. But that would be permitted on Shabbos because it's only as a Rabbanan. Again, once you know what the parameters are and you know what the limits are, then you see there are ways to deal with the halachic issue. What?
I would say
you have it in an unusual way, not a normal pocket. Not really, because people normally put things in pockets to carry.
Yeah.
For example, this. Right? It's a normal way. You can put it in your shoe, you can put it in the cuff of your pants, you can put it in anything that's unusual.
I believe you could pay.
What?
Of course. If you need to buy a medication, you need to pay.
We'll talk about it.
Drugstores we set up that don't take money.
Does Kmart not take money on Shabbos?
They haven't set it up yet, but that was
Rite Aid.
I'm Lincoln,
right?
It's good to be in an established Jewish community.
They took the WL, you tell them who you are, you don't have to sign anything.
Who did they bill? Jeff Last? Is that who they bill?
I don't know.
He owes a lot of money for drugs, I'm sure.
I started before he even knew about it.
Yeah. See, that's it. Well, you write it to the Project Aaron. The great thing about being in the community is, an established community is, for example, like they have a cab thing set up. They have they have all these things set up so that to minimize, to follow these halachas to minimize the violations. Okay. Aval, but, line, oh, I'm sorry. So you can't violate a Torah prohibition. Afilu yeshbo sakana eiver, even if a limb is in danger. Kol shebarur shelot b'kitit patech mizeh sakanat kol guf. As long as you're sure that it will not endanger the whole body. But as I said already, if you're not a doctor, don't make that decision. Right, don't make the decision. Okay? V'asur lo lasot melacha d'oraita afilu b'shinui shelo k'derech asiyata b'chol. But you're not allowed to do a melacha d'oraita even with an unusual way. V'amnam, you see, right, in parentheses. Yesh megedolei ha-poskim, there are some great deciders, Hamatzirim leYehudi lasot tzarchei refuato shel chole she'en bo sakana, Okay? To do anything you need to do for a sick person, even if doing it will be related to a deraita, if you do it in an unusual way. Okay, so there are some poskim who are even lenient in this case. If your child is sick, you can do something that's similar to deraita in an unusual way. To be honest with you, I can't even think of an example how this would come up, because I can't think of an example how it would come up. But if it were, I think you can rely on the lenient position, yeah?
What would be the category? You go to a pharmacy, and you're pretty sure the guy working there is a Jew who doesn't keep Shabbos.
Yeah.
And that's the only person.
What?
That's the only person to dispense what you need.
What do you mean? First of all, what's the prohibition of dispensing?
Making a sale. What?
Counting?
Town
medicine. First of all, the measuring would only be a derabbanan.
Right.
Everything he does is for himself. He does that's ancillary.
Usually, other people help counting.
Right. Who does all the sticking and the writing and all that kind of stuff?
Usually, they help the tech.
The tech. How would you know? You mean you would have to know for sure. In that case,
you assume the least. You don't assume the worst.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you have to assume that the person is Jewish. If you know for sure that the person would be Jewish, so if you need the medicine, it depends what the situation were. If you need the medicine, you need the medicine. Sounds to me like the pharmacist for sure. What do the pharmacists do usually? You know, you need medicine.
Checking it, opening the bottle, making sure the pill's right inside, the label's right, and putting it in a bag and stapling it.
That's it.
Well, wait a minute.
All those years of college?
No, but I mean, the picture is right. That is the most important.
Yeah, obviously. So none of that is prohibited. Okay. Okay, Ba'asher, it gets a little confusing, but I'm going to explain afterwards. Ba'asher. So for a Jew to do something for the non for the sick person, the davar she'imbo ella isur de rabbanan, there's only a rabbinic prohibition. So therefore, yeshev del ben mikreshi yeshbo sakanat eiver. So if there is a limb in danger, then shebo mutar laso the tzarech refuato. Then you can do a rabbinic prohibition. Okay, for example, well, a rabbinic prohibition would be, let's say, heating up a heating pad.
Hot water.
What then?
Hot water bottle.
Cooking hot water would be prohibited on Shabbos. That's a deraisa.
It never comes out of a kettle.
Oh, if it came out of an urn, then it would be permitted. Then it's permitted. So somehow you do it. I don't know in a rabbinically prohibited way. So that would be permitted if the limb was in danger. But it's better. He said, "Avarak." Skip the three lines from the end of the end of that thing. Aval in the middle of the line. You should make a shinoi. You should do it differently. And if you can't do it with a shinoi, then you should do it with a Jew, with a non-Jew. If there's no non-Jew, then you should do it even without a shinoi. So what's your priorities? A person is sick. You want to do some prohibition for them. So first question, can you do it in a permitted way? Second, if no, can you do it with a non-Jew? If no, can you do it with a shinui, an unusual way? If no, then you can even do it in a normal way. There is no non-Jews around. You have to turn on the hot water. The guy has cellulitis in his leg. He must soak his foot. Turn on the hot water. It is not a you're right the prohibition, even though that water heat is going to go on later on, because that's considered a grama. You're not doing it directly. It's indirect. And again, it's hard to do rabbinic. It's hard to do you're right the prohibition. It's very hard to do.
Sticks together.
What? To light a fire would be, you know, you have to light a lighter. That would be a right to prohibition. Anytime a doctor has to light a lighter. Hmm. So one thing that's a right to prohibition is making a wound. You're not going to make a wound, for example. So doctors come up all the time. When you do an intravenous injection, an IV line, that's a right to prohibition. So
are you ordered
Oh, you order it. That's different. That's not your prohibition.
So in other words,
but and if the patient's in danger and you need to do that, that's if the patient's in danger. Right.
So, for example, if you're taking a sliding scale, you're diabetic. You're taking a sliding scale of insulin.
Right.
You have to move yourself. Because
yes.
You have to take your.
Yeah, but you have to do what I did. You know, how do you puncture yourself? You know what I'm saying? So again, the question is, do you wound yourself in the normal way, or and how do you press the blood out? So then you'd have to take the rabbi asked him, do you do it normally? You would just go like this. Can you do it with the back of a spoon? Can you collect the blood in an unusual way? Yeah, you have to measure. Some people really have to measure.
You do it every day.
Every day.
4 times a day.
What's that?
No,
people are like, I don't know how diabetics, I don't know how their fingers aren't numb after a couple of months.
Now they're starting to do it where you can do it anywhere in the arm or the stomach. But the problem is that you said it, the finger, then the thing absorbs the blood, the little strip. So I'm wondering, and you got to turn on the machine.
That's electrical.
Right. Everything,
you just do it.
I think you have to do it.
Right.
You try to do it with a sheen noise as much as possible. Yeah, in the usual way. Somebody actually asked me that question.
That's where the question of the stitches came up.
What do you mean?
That was one of the probe questions because it had been, can a doctor stitch?
I got a probe question like that.
Wasn't that one of yours? Then
can a doctor stitch a wound?
Yeah, on Shabbos. That was,
if the doctor thinks it's life-threatening, you should do whatever he thinks you need to do.
Stereo strips or butterfly bandages until.
Well, this came up.
Really? That was a trouble question?
Maybe not for you, but for Rabbi.
That's a halakha question. Why? What happened?
Because Rabbi Drucker forbid Tenenberg is doing it.
Okay.
Kind of question came.
I'm not a doctor. Don't get me wrong. You know.
I told them he couldn't do it.
They asked me. This is a digression. When I was at Temple Emmanuel, they asked me.
The main point on there
came a probe question. Because there's...
I don't know. This is a totally different discussion. They asked me when I was in Temple Emmanuel, they said, how do you as an Orthodox person feel about giving back land in Judea and Samaria?
Say that again.
How do you as an Orthodox person feel about giving back land in Judea and Samaria? I said, to be brutally honest with you, I'm not a general.
Right.
So you'd have to ask a general and a rabbi, what are the halakhic issues and what are the military issues? Mm-hmm. They hear also. I can tell you the halakha. The doctor comes to me and says, Rabbi, this is the situation, what do I do? Mm-hmm. But I'm not the doctor. I can't tell you, this wound could be in danger of becoming infected if I don't suture it up. There's a reason why they stitch it up, You have to ask what the reason is. What are the ramifications? That's why you have doctors and you have rabbis. And they, they meet together. Okay. Gimel, Lefika. Therefore, Asur b'Shabbat l'talfein l'rofe. If a person is sick and not in danger, you can't call the doctor. Why? Because telephoning is ke'en d'oraita. Engaging in electrical connection. Electricity is actually a huge machloket of the poskim. What is the violation of electricity? Everybody admits that it's prohibited. Nobody says you can turn on lights on Shabbos. But the question is, why? What's the prohibition of electricity on Shabbos? So it's a machloket whether it's the oraita or the rabbanan. The Chazon Ish felt that it was the oraita, whereas many others felt that it's only a rabbinic prohibition. Anyway, so therefore, one can't, we're afraid that picking up the telephone is a rabbanan. Right, putting a circuit is considered bonus. Some say it was bonus. Right. Right. Yeah, anyway, somebody had a question?
What about a telephone with the drum on it?
Yeah, the drum.
Oh, then that would be... So obviously, though, the reason why you do the gramophone, you ever heard of this gramophone? There's a special telephone that's built by a place called SOMET in Israel. There's an organization called SOMET in Israel that deals with issues of halacha and technology. So, for example, they make a pen where you write in ink, but it disappears after Shabbos. So 24 hours later, the ink disappears. Why? What's the difference?
Prescription.
Because then the doctor is not writing permanently.
Uh-huh.
And that has ramifications.
Oh,
so you have to copy down the notes. You better copy it down before it disappears. yeah, you photocopy it, exactly.
But you can't photocopy it.
What? No, after Shabbos. They have 24 hours to photocopy all your notes. Oh, tons of things. So they make also, they're the ones that design the proper Shabbos elevators. Because an elevator, if you know how elevators work, right, elevators depend on, they're all computerized and depends on the weight of the person. So even if you got even if they have a Shabbos elevator at the hotel, at your resort in wherever, the fact that it stops on every floor does not make you permitted to go on it.
Mm-hmm. No.
Really? No. Yes. Right. Because your weight will regulate how much counterweight a good elevator is putting against you.
Well, I remember in Florida they had the Pesach elevator. Everybody was getting on.
So they were. I can't help you. You know?
You get on with someone else.
Well, hold on a second. So Thelmet also makes what's called a gramophone. This phone is what it does is when you dial a number, it's actually dialing every number, and when you dial a number, it eliminates all those other numbers except for the number that you dial. So instead of dialing forwards, electronically it's dialing backwards.
Yeah.
And basically what it does is it creates circuit with a scenery in an unusual way. So there, so now, why do you do this? And who would think of this, right? Only Jews would think of this. Right? So now the bottom line is the following. If the only reason you can pick up a telephone is if someone's life is in danger.
Yeah.
Right?
How do you know?
Something new? No, they've had it for years. Yeah. Really? But the bottom line is, if you have to, you can pick up the telephone. But doctors, especially I know schools that have them, because there are a lot of doctors at the school, doctors who often make these kinds of phone calls, they feel like they want to have this gramophone available so that even though they can violate the Shabbos, they want to do it in the minimal way. Right? And that's a nice thing to have. Maybe we should get one of those here. We should get a gramophone. Yeah, we should. Okay. Well, am I out of time already?
Called a gramophone?
A gramophone. Gramophone. It's not gramophone like, you know, gramophone. It's put out by a place called Shomet in Israel, Zomet. They do also electrical wheelchairs for people who can't walk, all kinds of things. Shavers. You go to their base in Gush Etzion, in Alon Shavuot. You go to have a whole tour of like all kinds of crazy things that they came up with. It's unbelievable. Okay. You can't call it Rofei. Then also, Asur Lavinsoa B'mechoni, Liknoi Kuzot. You can't travel by car to buy medicines. Asur lahadik ulechabot or letarachachola. If the person is sick, just sick, you can't turn off the light. Now, if a person's life was in danger, the person was having a heart attack, and they said, the light is bothering me, turn off the light. Because even they'll say, well, what's the connection between the light and they're having a heart attack? It doesn't matter. Anything that they sell they need, right, you do what you need to do. But here, it's not like that. Here, a person's life is not in danger. Okay?
They're asking me all kinds
of things
to do all kinds of things.
Someone on the deathbed, it's a very difficult situation. And even slight things can change their well-being very, very quickly. And you got to have a rabbi there at the time, you know, on the premises. Okay? What else he says? You can't drive. You can't take x-rays. Maybe a person, right. But obviously, though, we had Leah got sick, and she had to go to the emergency room because she was having trouble breathing. So when the doctor sent her to the emergency room, she's having trouble breathing. You know, she had bronchitis or something like that. And they were taking They were taking pictures. Why? Because you don't know. Yeah, they need to know, right? So obviously nowadays, anytime they would take the X-ray, it's because they want to make sure that you know you're not in danger. But although to be honest with you, sometimes they'll put you on antibiotics and they want to check. You know what I mean? A lot of these, you know, they'll want to just verify. So sometimes that can wait till after Shabbos. So you'd have to ask a doctor, you know, do I need to take this now? Or can I wait till afterwards? You know, and the doctor will answer you honestly. Dalit, 4. We're up to 4?
4.
It's 9 o'clock and I'm up to 4. Wonderful. 4 out of 20. Mutar la'kacha trufot. We take medicines. Kegon glulot, syrup, tipot, syrup, drops. Mutar la'abev mei chamsan. And you can mix
vinegar.
Thank you. Vinegar, the Mayan Kedela Gargarahem, to gargle. You can do anything that will be permitted to do, you can do on Shabbos for a health reason. If you're lying down, you have strep, you can gargle. You can, you know what I'm saying? You can take a throat lozenge. And all the things that last time I said you couldn't do, because you weren't sick, as soon as you become sick, you take medicine in the normal way, and it's not prohibited. Okay.
You didn't mean vinegar, you're talking hydrogen peroxide.
No, you're not gargling hydrogen peroxide.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get you with water.
Yes, half and half.
Mechamsan? I don't know. You skip that? Vinegar? I don't know.
I don't know.
Chomesh. Mechamsan. Is vinegar water?
No.
Oh, you think so? I don't know. Okay, so I'm located. What it means. You'll look it up for me. Mechamsan. Okay. One thing that you should be aware of, though, is it's important not to squeeze. You have to try not to squeeze. Like, for example, when
lemon
you are... What?
Lemon, if you want.
A lemon, no. For example, one thing you normally do is you would, like, in the doctor's office, the doctor will always take a swab and put it in, like, alcohol or whatever that solution they use and rub it around, or like an alcohol swab. You have to be careful not to do that on Shabbos if you have infection you want to clean. The best thing to do is to take what they say is a synthetic cloth, either pour it on or use a synthetic cloth in order to clean it without squeezing. Because squeezing is a problem. Is it right? The problem. You should try to
Before some alcohol.
Yes. Alcohol. Yeah. And then
No. I mean to clean before
you pour alcohol. Yeah. Yeah. To pour. Correct.
I mean, on a wood.
Okay. Et cetera. There's a bunch of other details that you can look at in English because I'm out of time, and I hopefully we covered pretty much most of the bases. This is the end of the healing and Shabbos discussion. There are many other topics.
Uh-huh.
If you have any specific topics on the topic, give it to me. I'll add it to my list. But otherwise, we continue next week with. I don't remember. I have to write it down. Oh, opening packages? No, not next week. But we'll get to that. That's one on my list also. What? Cans, bottles, and we'll get to that sometime this semester. Have a good week, everybody.
Okay.